And let me ask you about underemployment in particular. What are the numbers there? And what do you mean by underemployment?
That's a fine question. So you can look at underemployment in a couple of ways. One way is underemployment in an hours sense. I want to work full-time. I need the hours, but I just can't find a full-time job, so I'm stuck working part-time. There are a lot of young people who fit that description in this sort of weak labor market in the aftermath of the Great Recession. So you see a big increase in workers who are working part-time but want full-time jobs. You also see a big increase in the share of college-educated workers who are working in jobs that do not require their college degree. So this is the classic, I have a college degree, but I'm working as a barista. So in fact, even in boom times, there's actually always a lot of underemployment of college grads. It often takes, even in the best of times, takes people a while to transition into the labor market. But at a time like this, when job opportunities are very weak across the board, the share of young people who have a college degree but are working in jobs that don't require it is a lot higher. And one of the things that the implications of that is that means things are even worse for workers without a college degree. There's this phenomenon economists call cyclical downgrading, which means when job opportunities are weak, we're in a low point in the business cycle, people will have to settle for a job that's lower than their skills and experience, that doesn't require their skills and experience. If you have a college degree, you have somewhere to downgrade to. You can take a job that doesn't require your college degree. Workers with lower levels of education can just fall off the bottom. And that's one of the reasons why you see workers without a college degree with extremely high unemployment rates, is because one of the benefits of having a college degree is you might be seen as being more valuable for even in jobs that do not require it. That's not why you went to college. You didn't go to college to have a leg up on that job as a barista, but nevertheless, that's how it's playing out a lot in today's labor market.
And when you say it's gotten better for some of the more recent years, or is getting better, does that mean they're in competition with the 2009, 2010, 2011 graduates we were talking about who are in such bad shape? Are they actually pushed even further back?
There's not a lot of information on that, but my guess is that if you're graduating in the current year, you're probably a lot better off than somebody who graduated in 2009 and has just had, they were just unlucky to graduate in that year, and they've had now 5 years of serious earnings, employment instability, sort of jumping around, having periods of unemployment, getting little gigs, never getting in their sort of career groove. That person may not look as desirable to an employer as somebody who just comes out, they're in their first job, they're fresh, they're ready to go. So an employer may look at somebody who has the exact same qualifications, but because they had this episode of bad labor market outcomes, the employer might think there's something wrong with them. So I think that the young people coming out now are probably better off than the people who graduated a few years ago, and because labor market opportunities were so weak, they've really struggled since then. Now they're still up against these young graduates for very entry-level jobs. My intuition is that employers will take that as a bad sign about them and prefer the brand-new graduates, which is it's good news for the brand-new graduates, really, really bad news for the people who graduated a few years ago.
So what can these graduates do to change the direction of how their careers are going?
One of the problems is it's not their fault, so it's hard to know what can be done. When I think of how to think about a cohort graduating into a weak labor market, you can think about in good times and bad times, there's always some share of young people who do really well. There's some share of young people who do really poorly, and some share do somewhere in between. When job opportunities are weak, those shares shift. A ton more of them do really poorly. A much smaller share do really well. that's not their fault. It's not because they're not hardworking, they're not flexible, it's not because they don't have the right resumes or interview techniques. And so it's hard to, you know, that is due to the weak labor market. So it's hard to say if you do X, Y, or Z, you'll be better off. One of the lessons of that is these young people today need to hang really tough. They need to know, listen, it's going to be harder for you than it would have been if you'd been able to graduate in, say, 2007. It's going to take longer to find a decent job. You may have to settle for something that's not quite as good as what you otherwise would have gotten. And just hang in there. Know that it's not your fault. Keep, you know, the worst thing is would be to have someone have this bad opportunity, then take it personally and have that lead into some kind of cycle of them, you know, thinking they weren't worth a better job. So that's a key thing, is to just know it's not your fault and just hang tough. And then the other thing that's maybe a little more actionable is one of the ways that young people see advancement in the labor market is to be open to change, be flexible. One of the ways you see growth is through changing jobs, maybe even changing cities, being open to changing careers. So those kinds of movements can be the things that help you get back on to that happy trajectory you would have been on if you'd been lucky enough to enter the labor market when things were strong. And so that is, I think, young people can help themselves out by not necessarily right in the beginning, but over the course of the next decade, just be open to various forms of mobility in order to nudge yourself perhaps more quickly to that happy trajectory.
What are the implications of this whole situation for the many, many, many students who are carrying high loads of student loan debt?
It's not good. I one way that I think is useful to think about this is when students are deciding to go to college, they're entering into sort of an implicit contract that they're going to make this huge investment in money, in energy, in time, in foregone earnings in order to have actually good job opportunities on the other side of it. It's supposed to come with a decent chance for good labor market outcomes once you go through all that and get your degree. One of the things that happens is when you are entering into a labor market that's really weak, that contract is pretty much broken. A much larger share of young people, it's through no fault of their own, are going to be, they know they have this big debt, but they're going to be less likely to find that good job that will help them start repaying that debt. So that the combination of high student loans and being in an environment where jobs are scarce is actually a really toxic one for young people trying to get on their feet, trying to get out from under their student loans so they can start saving for other things like, you know, an auto loan or a mortgage on a house, other kinds of debt that's actually good that can help set them up for their future. The concern is that the student loan debt really crowds out those other kinds of good spending that means young people are sort of setting themselves up for their future.
Before I let you go, you write that there are like a million young people missing from the labor market. What's going on?
Yeah, so one of the things that we see right now more broadly in the labor market, but it's also happening with young people, is this decline in labor force participation. That you see young people who get out, they either have a high school degree, a college degree, they look around and they say, there's just nothing for me here. And they just stop looking for work. So they're no longer counted as being in the labor force. You have to, to be counted officially as unemployed, you have to be jobless but actively seeking work. So it's one of the ways the unemployment rate of the overall labor market, but also of young people, understates the weakness of job opportunities right now, because we have so many young people that have just given up looking, said there's just nothing out there for me now. One of the things that you hear associated with this is maybe for some people that's not such a bad thing. Maybe some young people have said, look, there's nothing for me in the labor market. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to get a BA. Otherwise, I would have just started my career. Instead, I'm going to go to college. Or I'm a college graduate, and I'm going to decide to get a master's degree because the labor market is poor, so this is a good time to go to college. That would be great if that had been happening, because then you would have a cohort of young people who are actually more educated than they otherwise would have been if the Great Recession hadn't hit. Turns out that's not what's happening. We have not seen a big increase in school enrollment as the Great Recession in the Great Recession and its aftermath. So there's a couple of reasons for that. One is many students have to work to put themselves through college. So when the rug of the labor market gets pulled out from under people, many of them will have to either drop out of or never enter school because they can't afford to put themselves through. And then the other thing is, one of the way middle-class parents help their kids with college is through taking out home equity loans. But we just went through the bursting of a massive housing bubble where millions of people lost a lot of housing wealth, which means that avenue was cut off for many middle-class families. And so that likely also led to fewer young people. Due to the effects of the Great Recession, they actually can't go to college rather than being able to shelter in school. So what that means is we've seen a big increase in young people who are not enrolled in school and they're not employed. Both avenues that you think of as young people being able to take the path that will help set them up for their future, for many, many more young people in the aftermath of the Great Recession, both of those paths have been blocked. And it just is a massive loss of opportunities for this young cohort.